Today we're going to be talking about the Miami Heat instead of the Miami Dolphins, the first of many Miami Heat podcasts to come. The Heat are going to be dominating a lot of the news cycle up until the combine and the draft for Miami sports. And with me is, and thankfully I can say, SFMN intern and co-host of the Any Given Friday podcast, Eric Wiedeke. Eric, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Kai. Glad to finally be on board here at SFMN. How are you doing, Kai?
I'm doing good. It hasn't been cold per se, but there was a little bit of wind today getting off of work, and it got a little cold. So, you know, had to warm up a little bit when I got home. But speaking of heat, the Miami Heat have throughout this season shocked a lot of doubters, I would say, at least so far. They've been playing very well. They're 19-1 at home. And the team in general has just been better than it was expected in the national media eyes. One of the things that has kind of emerged in recent games, and something that a lot of people have been talked about, a former Johnson brother, as a lot of people like to say, with Tyler Johnson and James Johnson. James now has been playing a little bit better. And I want to get right into it. Do you think that with some more minutes that he's getting, with the improved play that he's been having, do you think that this is so that he can show he can still play and that he's going to be a potential trade candidate come the deadline? Or do you think that they're just trying to get him more involved with some of the injuries that they're having?
I would think if Justice Winslow were still healthy, I would absolutely say 100% yes, they're going to trade him. However, with the hole on the roster left by Justice Winslow and his injury, Miami needs another ball handler that can play defense. And James Johnson does exactly that off the bench. It's not even that he's playing better. It's just that he's playing at all. In the 13 games that he's playing so far, he's only playing 14 or 15 minutes a game. So it's been a little bit of small sample size theater here. But he's giving Miami, you know, really good efficiency. He's shooting 55% from the floor, 48% from three in those 15 and a half minutes. I think he needs more in the 13 games that he's played.
Do you think that you mentioned the Justice Winslow injury, which is something that's got a lot of Heat fans on Twitter very riled up. And I want to kind of mention that quickly. Do you think that there is a estimated, I haven't seen much, at least at what I've looked at, it seems like the timetables have always been we'll see with Justice, and he's been out for quite some time now. Do you think that Justice is going to be able to come in and still be a vital part of the team, both defensively, and he was progressing offensively at least from the tail end of last season and getting into this season before being injured? Do you think he's gonna be able to seamlessly kind of get back into that groove with the team?
No, I think there's definitely going to be an adjustment because there was already an adjustment going on when he first got hurt. He only played about 11 games, and we all know that Jimmy Butler missed the first couple games of the season due to the birth of his child. And, you know, Winslow was kind of the guy that Jimmy Butler is being right now. He filled that Jimmy Butler role. And once Butler came back, there was kind of this adjustment period that Justice was learning how to play with Butler. And there was kind of a question of how the fit would look on the court. So you're also looking at that aspect of it. He never really got to gel in the first place. So not only is he going to be coming back with limited minutes with an uneven role, he's also got to learn how to play with Jimmy Butler. So I don't think you'll see quite a smooth adjustment right away, but I think he's a talented enough player and he's smart enough to figure it out eventually if he does get back.
Do you think that he's potentially one of those pieces? I know that since he's been injured, a lot of Heat fans have kind of lost faith and even seen a value in Winslow. It seems like when he was playing, a lot of people were calling him there was two sides to it. You had the Point Justice crowd who said that he has to play point guard. He's better at the point guard position, and that Spo didn't know he was doing, and the kind of very pro-Justice. And then you had the anti-Justice. He's never proved anything. Why didn't we take the trade from Danny Ainge? All that stuff where they don't want to kind of be associated with Justice and the Heat. Do you think that with the continued, you know, James Johnson's playing, he's being efficient, as you said, do you think that him and James Johnson could be a package deal for anybody that's currently available either before or at the trade deadline?
I don't know because it all depends on if Justice is healthy by the time the trade deadline comes around. Because if he's not, this entire conversation is moot. I think both things that you said could be true. I think Danny Ainge really, I mean, he was willing to overpay. I think even at the time, Danny Ainge would say that he was overpaying in that situation. But at the same time, Justice Winslow is absolutely better playing the point guard position. Because he's, you know, it just utilizes what he does on offense best. He's not the greatest shot creator in the world for himself, but he's good at making passes and creating for others. So I think both of those things could be true, that he's better at point guard and that they probably should have taken that trade for Danny Ainge. I think if he is healthy by the time the deadline comes around, why not package those two guys together, see if there's any interest around the league on it.
And for any before the season started, once Jimmy Butler's trade or sign-in trade went through from the Sixers and the team sent Josh Richardson over to the Sixers and that kind of deal there, a lot of the speculation was about Bradley Beal potentially being a target for the Heat. That never ended up happening. Beal signed a contract extension with the Wizards, and it doesn't look like he's going to really be going anywhere. And it doesn't look like John Wall will be going anywhere either. A lot of people have talked about Chris Paul. There's been names thrown around before Carmelo signed. They wanted them, you know, Heat fans wanted Melo to be brought. Instead, he goes to Portland. You mentioned two names to me before we started recording. Could you kind of break both of those names down for our audience here and why you think they might be a good fit for the Heat?
Of course. Two of the names that I've brought up, they're not new to trade discussions for the Miami Heat. They're two guys that I think have been connected to the Heat for a long time. You have LaMarcus Aldridge and you have Drew Holiday. Now, both of those guys are on situations where they're on teams that are kind of trending upwards right now. So I'm not sure if anything's changed in those front offices in terms of their approach to trading those guys. But I think they both fill a couple of needs for the Miami Heat. And I think their timeline ends up lining up. I know Drew Holiday has a player option for 2021-22 season. Obviously, everybody knows the summer of 2021 is the summer of Giannis Antetokounmpo. But I believe it's easy enough to say that Drew Holiday, you know, still going to be a talented player. I could see him opting out of his deal. He's got a player option for $27.46 million. I could see him opting out of that for sure. But he fills the Justice Winslow role, except he's a much better scorer than Justice from just about every level of the court. He's a true facilitator, could take the pressure off of Jimmy in that way. Also a dogged defender, so Jimmy doesn't have to guard the other team's best player all the time. And just another guy that provides a really good scoring punch for the team. So I think he'd fit in seamlessly, and Jimmy Butler loves him. They asked Jimmy before the season who he thought the most underrated player in the league was, and without even a second, he said Drew Holiday. So I think that's a pretty, you know, open and shut case for that. In terms of LaMarcus Aldridge, everybody knows of the Heat's interest in him in 2015 when Pat Riley famously got a meeting with him without any cap space. But Aldridge fills another need for the Heat. The Heat are starting Myers Leonard right now at center, and he's kind of a token starter, you know, plays like 16, 17 minutes a game. He's not really, you know, he's less starter and more role player than anything when you really look at it. And Aldridge is a guy that he's a big body at the center position. He's starting to shoot threes this year at the highest clip he's ever shot. Not only in terms of taking them, but he's also making them at the highest percentage he's ever made them. And he's just a guy that can take the pressure off of Bam on defense in terms of, you know, banging with the centers down low. Bam's 6'9". He's kind of undersized for that spot. But Aldridge gives them a big body that can kind of grab those rebounds and play that defense that they need. And he gives them a good scoring punch on offense. So I definitely see those two guys as kind of, and on the plus side, he expires in 2021 as well. So I definitely see those two guys as the clear two trade targets.
Do you think, or better yet, out of those two, which one do you think is the more preferred? I know you mentioned that They both have their pros and cons. I would say, of course, you're going to have to give up something. And it seems like Justice would be kind of that piece in any trade, in my opinion, that would be kind of given out. I don't think that they're going to let go of Tyler Hero. I don't think they're going to let go of Kendrick Nunn. So I think that those are maybe even I don't maybe you float around Duncan Robinson, but I still don't think that they would kind of give him up. Mm-hmm. I think it's a little bit hard as well. Plus, I believe that the Heat have to match salaries regardless in a trade, correct?
Right. Yeah, that is correct. They signed Chris Silva to a 3-year deal. They guaranteed his contract. So any deal that the Heat make, they have to either match or exceed the salary coming in.
Right. So it's not the easiest for them.
No, not at all, at least from a salary cap standpoint. If you asked me, I think considering all the factors and the fact that Jrue Holiday has a player option that, you know, for some reason, maybe he does accept it, and that kind of takes them out of the Giannis sweepstakes, I think Aldridge is probably the preferred piece. Number one, he's not going to cost you as much. In fact, I mean, if there's a way that you can kind of, you know, maybe instead of Justice Winslow and a, you know, more valuable piece, maybe you try to offer up a first round pick in Derek Jones Jr. and like a Kelly Olynyk for LaMarcus Aldridge. Cause I don't think it would take quite as much to get Aldridge considering, you know, he's 34 years old. So he's heading towards the twilight of his career. And a lot of teams, he just doesn't fit what they like to do. So I don't know if there would be a robust market for a guy like LaMarcus Aldridge anyways. So I would prefer, if I were the Heat, I would prefer LaMarcus Aldridge just considering the cost and the contract situation.
Right. I think as well, one thing, and we'll transition here into the Clippers, that's big to note is that, yes, it's the Giannis sweepstakes, and the big thing that Pat Riley said, which I think a lot of Heat fans have to kind of circle back to and remember, is that he said he's not after whales anymore, or whatever it was that he's after orcas that he's after. That's the kind of the key quote that I remember is he said he's hunting orcas now, that he wants killer whales or whatever he specifically said. And then something that they need to remember, he wants to get that big, big ticket. He's not just after getting, you know, a LaMarcus Aldridge, and they had no salary cap. And I believe the rumor at that time when they did meet was that he tried to convince LaMarcus to stay another year and then come out the next year for a free agency. So he's kind of not looking to kind of get those, and I think that he might be more hesitant, especially with the cap. Goran Dragic, his contract, is going to expire over the offseason, and that huge thing for 2021 is to keep that cap space and make sure you have that, you know, ability to get Giannis. One team that did get those big orcas, they got the killer whales, was the Clippers. They'll be coming to the Heat arena. I think technically we're still calling it the AAA, if I'm not mistaken. It hasn't been given an official new name other than the American Airlines Arena.
It's still the AAA as of right now.
Right. So it's still the AAA. It's not the Publix, or I saw some people put La Careta or a couple of Flanagan's. It's not that yet. But they'll be coming down on Friday to the American Airlines Arena to face the Heat. Right now, as it stands, Paul George is out currently. And then with Kawhi, you kind of never know, because he will kind of be, resting, I guess you could say is a better term to put it at, or sitting on the bench. Do you think the first question I have there is with Kawhi, do you think that Kawhi is going to be playing on the court on Friday, or do you think that it'll more so be kind of the B team, so to speak, for the Clippers?
I think Kawhi's done a pretty good job of showing up for the big games, and you know, as long as it's not a back to back for the Clippers, I could 100% see him playing. I think this whole thing has kind of been overstated. He's played in about 75-76% of the Clippers games this year. So, you know, he's really taking every fourth game off, if anything. And it is mostly just back-to-back. So I think he'll be good to go.
Do you agree with I heard Chris Broussard talk. I've heard a lot of people, but Chris Broussard's the main person I've heard that's mentioned it a lot, that they can't consider Kawhi one of the best players in the world if he's not playing every single game. Do you agree with what a lot of people say about that, or do you think that he's proved it at a playoff level time after time, and now it's kind of like, listen, the regular season doesn't matter as much. They are tied for second as we currently stand with two other teams, the Jazz and the Nuggets, right behind the Lakers, who just got blown out by the Celtics for the first time in Kemba Walker's career, beating LeBron 1-28. But do you think that's the same thing? Do you agree with them in the way that you can't consider him the best player, or the top two players right now in the world with him sitting games out? Or do you think that it's just wait till we get to the playoffs and you'll see what he showed us last year?
Oh, I think that argument is stupid, because how often you play doesn't determine the level at which you play. When he plays, he is one of the best two players in the world. I think it's categorically false to judge a guy's ability to play based on how often he does play. And if you were to take his percentage of games played, which is 76.7 this year, and take that over an 82-game stretch, that's over 60 games. That's 64, 65 games, which is pretty much as he was playing last year in Toronto. And I know there was some complaints over it last year in Toronto, but I feel like the complaints are magnified because he is playing in Los Angeles and he is on a bigger stage. But that entire argument is just, it's childish, it's bitter. It's people that want to see him play more, and I understand that. He's a great player. I want to see him play more too. But to say that he's not one of the best because he doesn't play quite as often as you would like is just really ridiculous to me.
Do you think that the match with him and Paul George, I know that there hasn't been a lot of games that they've kind of been together, and there hasn't really synced a lot of what, at least from the outside looking in for a lot of other fans. If you go on Twitter, you go to Bleacher Report, the main thing you're going to be seeing is Lou Williams. You're going to be seeing Patrick Beverley. That's kind of the main things that they like to talk about so much. And the media in general with the NBA, do you think that the Paul George move was the right move for the Clippers? Do you think that maybe they should have tried to get somebody else? Or do you think that what Steve Ballmer and them did was, listen, we need to get Kawhi, and Kawhi wants Paul George, and they're going to be able to work fine together come the playoffs?
Yeah, I think it was absolutely a package deal. Kawhi Leonard pretty much told the Clippers, listen, I need you to get this guy, or else I'm not signing. So I think it was absolutely the right move because it got him Kawhi Leonard. And that's not to say that Paul George is simply a consolation prize. I think he's a fantastic player, and I don't have any qualms about their fit. Kawhi Leonard this year is averaging a career high in assists. He's facilitating at the highest level he's ever done. And Paul George is a fantastic shooter. Paul George, he can spot up, he can create when he needs to, and when Kawhi Leonard is tired and needs a break guarding the opposing team's best player, they can just throw Paul George at him, and Paul George is almost every bit the defender that Kawhi Leonard is. And then you combine that with the other elements that they have, like Lou Williams, like Montrezl Harrell, like Zubats, like Beverly, and really they've got an embarrassment of riches. I think having two elite perimeter wing players, is actually ideal in today's league.
Finally, I want to ask the game. It's going to be a huge game. One that a lot of Heat fans might not have saw as a potential huge game when the year started, just because they heard, okay, this team might be good. A lot of fans were like, who the hell is Tyler Hero? Who's Kendrick Nunn? And kind of burst onto the scene. This is going to be a big game. Who do you have winning? Do you think the Clippers pull out the win and go home with a W, or do you think that the Heat will move on and be 20-1 at home?
Man, the Heat have kind of been struggling lately.
I actually want to give a quick correction. Possibly 20-1. Sorry to cut you off. Possibly 21. They do play the Wizards at home later on tonight. As time that this would go out on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
They play the Wizards at home tonight, so it's possible that it could be 19-2. But do you think that the Heat get a win, or do you think the struggles will cause them to lose?
You know what? I think they hold home court. I think they hold home court. You know, they're 19-1 at home. That's 95%. So, you know, I'm not betting against that.
So you have the Heat winning. Do you have any score prediction? I know with basketball it's a little harder to give a.
Oh, it's tight. I don't think it'll be a high scoring game with these two teams. Give me 104 to 99.
Do you think it's an overtime game, or do you think they close it out in four quarters this time?
I would definitely say four quarters.
Okay. So you have the Heat winning 104-99 against the Los Angeles Clippers on Friday. Do you have any final comments about the Heat for our Heat fans here at SFMN?
Just that it's time for us to start calling Eric Spoelstra a lock for the Hall of Fame.
That's a great statement, and I enjoyed that being the final kind of words there, because I feel like Coach Spo has been just absolutely thrashed because of multiple reasons. A lot of people said that he was made by LeBron and D-Wade. I don't think people really watch the NBA and understand how great of a coach Spoelstra actually is. So I do agree with you. I think it's time that they started to consider Coach Spo a Hall of Famer. And hopefully he can pull out a win against the Washington Wizards and then seal it off with a win against the Clippers on Friday night before facing the Magic on Monday, a game where the Heat should win. But we know, of course, the Heat against the Magic is a very interesting tale. So thank you guys so much for listening. Look forward to more Heat podcast or short podcast episodes in the future here for SFMN. And we will see you guys on the next Heat podcast.